Chilling tales for dark nights.
Creeper by Stephanie Thompson, narrated by Otis Gyrie. By my count, Leslie did far more wrong by me than I did by her. I was mad at first, but forgave her in the end. Yet she seemed to be mad more often than not. I guess all relationships have their ups and downs, and it did work itself out in the end, so it's all right now. But I can't help thinking how things could have been different. She should have just gotten rid of the house in the beginning. If she'd done that, then maybe she'd be alive today. As it was, the house was worth next to nothing. The painting on the wood siding was peeling where it wasn't rotting, and shingles were found up and down the street after every storm. Virginia creeper choked the front yard, squeezing out every blade of grass or flower like a playground bully. Leslie talked about the wonderful things she was going to do to the house, the purple siding and the pink shingles with the black shutters. She was going to have silver curtains and yellow stepping stones leading to a sky-blue door. But Leslie liked the creeper, which she often called Ivy, and she was going to name the place Creeper's Knoll. If it wasn't for the house, maybe we could have gone back to dating, like before college separated us. That was really the first thing that got in the way. The first time she abandoned me. But I couldn't get too mad about that, and I understand why she did it. She said long distance was too difficult to manage, and I didn't want to get in the way of her studies. I would have gone too, but I wasn't accepted to her school, and I didn't have the money. On one of our last dates, we went to a winter carnival. Leslie was home for a few weeks, over Christmas break. She didn't want to go out because it was cold, but I finally talked her into going to the carnival. It was maybe a week till Christmas, and we rode the Ferris wheel because I told her the lights of the town would look really nice. When the ride moved slowly, still filling up with people, we watched houses and lights come into view as we rose higher and higher. At the very top, I looked over at Leslie. She was snuggled tightly in a black wool coat with a matching knit scarf and hat. A crescent moon glowed beside her. It illuminated her ash-blonde hair like silver threads that shifted slightly in the breeze. Her breath floated in the air like wisps of fog. It looked like her soul, the essence of her being, leaking from her, drawn out by the moon. I kissed her then because she looked so perfect, and I just wanted a little bit of that to seep into me. She broke up with me in a letter in the new year. She didn't call or visit. It was so weird to open that letter, excited at correspondence, and see it was over. That really pissed me off. I'm not sure I forgave her 100% for that. I never lost track of her, though. She finished college and moved back to town eventually. I would run into her sometimes, but it wasn't the way it was before. Not until her aunt died and left Leslie the house. That damn house. Then Leslie came around more often. She'd come and sit in my living room, drink whiskey and cola, and stare at Creeper's Knoll. I'd make us a drink after drink until her words slurred and I'd call a cab for her. Eventually, I gave her keys to my house in case she wanted to come over when I wasn't there. One day, she was there before me. She was sitting in front of the window, as usual, but she wasn't staring at the house. Now, she was watching a point on the floor. Her jaw was tight, her face stony.
What's in that locked room? The room where the utility room used to be?
I said nothing. It wasn't none of her business. Not until it was finished, anyway. Then I noticed papers spread across the coffee table and sofa. My papers. My private papers. Anger flashed through my body, emanating from my stomach and heating my fists and face. Why were you looking through my stuff?
I didn't mean to. I just saw the picture and was curious.
She didn't look at me. Her voice was soft. A million images flashed in my mind, so many options for action that it was confusing. I wasn't ready, though. Not yet, not quite. It was all arranged, just not quite ready. Leave, please, I said through clenched teeth. If I can't trust you to respect my privacy, then just leave. She said nothing else and left. She didn't leave anything behind. She had to have expected I'd get mad. I had every right to. I immediately regretted it, though. I just lost my temper for a moment. I was sure she would come back. She had to come back to watch Creeper's Knoll. She didn't come back. She didn't watch the house anymore. She started to watch me. She hung curtains, which were a nice, sensible beige, by the way, not silver, in the front windows, and peeked out between the panels. During the day, workmen came with giant slabs of drywall and packs of laminate floors and tiling. At night, I saw her shifting the curtains, sitting in the dark, watching me. I couldn't take it anymore. She was going too far, watching my every move. We were separated by a street when we should have been together. I decided to end it. Ready or not, the time had come. I called her at work, where I knew she had to answer the phone.
Hello?
Look, Leslie, I just wanted to say I'm sorry. We should get a drink and go back to being friends.
I don't know, Jamie. It's just, things have gotten complicated.
I know, but it's okay. We can sort this out, I said. Things had changed, but I was going to end it. Look, I'll bring the wine and we can sit up in Creeper's Knoll. I know you've had some work done. I want to see what you did. There was a wait, and then she agreed.
All right, Jamie.
We had a date at 7 p.m. All of the work I'd done was coming to fruition. Tonight, we could be together. She hadn't come home that summer after she broke up with me, or the next winter. She took summer classes and attended winter sessions. She moved off campus and had an apartment there to help accommodate her new schedule. I missed her so much, it was maddening. If I'd ever had real money, maybe I could have gone to college as well. I could have had my own apartment and take classes. I could have been collegiate, too. I'd hoped Leslie would come home when my mom passed. I'd hoped she would come to the funeral. We were supposed to be friends, at least. But she didn't come. She didn't send a letter. I still missed her. But she came home early from college because all of her extra classes, she got to graduate early. But that didn't change anything either. She had her 9-to-5, and she didn't visit me, so it was good what I did.